It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101, where we give you the 411 on your 911. Well, summer is in full swing, a lot of people outdoors, and one of the concerns that people think about in certain regions of the country especially is Lyme disease. So our next guest, Dr. Arlo Wetledge, is the clinical professor of emergency medicine at University of Texas Medical School in Houston. So welcome, Dr. Wetledge. Tell us a little bit about, let's start with, who should be most concerned? What regions do we see Lyme disease?
Well, Lyme disease can occur any part of the country, but it's more commonly, particularly in the Northeast. But also, it's very common in areas that are forested and rich, lush areas. So it can occur throughout the country, but most commonly, the pattern is up in the Northeast. It was originally named after where it was recognized, which was in Lyme, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's interesting. People don't know. And I had heard that even some areas of Europe, although I didn't know, in the United States, the biggest carriers of Lyme disease in this region, in these regions, are what? Are they are there certain animals? Like, isn't the deer the biggest problem?
Well, and it's not just the deer. It is the deer tick. So this is a tick-borne disease. And Lyme has gotten a lot of press, appropriately so, because it can cause some pretty severe chronic arthritis and other problems in a very small percentage, but it also is in a broader group of tick-borne diseases. So I think any effort to talk about preventing Lyme disease really refers to all the other categories of diseases that fall in tick-borne diseases, or in a sense, any arthropod or insect-borne diseases.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's interesting is I once read something that it's not the tick itself, right? This is a bacteria that gets into the tick and is then transmitted through the tick bite?
You're exactly right. It's in the category of bacteria. It's a spirochete, which is an interesting organism, but it is the tick that hosts on the deer that then can infect human with this particular organism.
Hmm. And I once went, you mentioned, not to get too technical, but the spirochete, believe it or not, the way that the disease kind of progresses, it's kind of similar, not to say it's sexually transmitted, but syphilis too is a type of disease that there's different levels of the bacterial infection. So it's almost like, if you don't recognize it, it goes on longer and attacks different parts of your body, right? And this Lyme bacteria is very similar in that respect, right?
I think you're exactly correct. The disease itself, and again, it's gotten a lot of press, and appropriately so, but that severe chronic disease is really fairly rare. If the tick bite is recognized early, you can completely prevent it. Well, of course, the best way to do it is prevent the tick bite in the first place. But recognizing it early, a simple single dose early on of an antibiotic can prevent all the complications from it.
All right, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but unfortunately, ticks, oftentimes when they attack humans, tend to be in areas that are not necessarily easily seen. So if you don't recognize it right away or it's later on, it is worthwhile paying attention to that, because we don't always necessarily immediately see a tick bite.
And especially these ticks, you know, these are such teeny ticks, right? I had read that when the Lyme tick is not even attached or blown up, it could be the size of a poppy seed, which if you think about that. And then even when it attaches and blows up with some blood in it, it's like a sesame seed. So this isn't like those big ticks that I've pulled off my dog or pulled off myself, you know, that they talk about. These are teeny little ticks. They're hard to find sometimes.
Yes, they can be hard to find, and they are much smaller than at least what I typically think about a big bloated tick. So prevention really is a very important part of this, and like any other part of prevention, it's really thinking about what you're doing ahead of time in a cautious light to realize where you may be exposed or at risk.
All right, so let's talk about first, what are the signs that people should watch out for? And then we can talk about how to maybe prevent getting the tick bite in the first place. But what kind of signs, what would make someone suspicious that maybe something's going on related to Lyme?
Well, recognizing the tick, and there is a very characteristic rash that occurs around the tick site that can be the clue that there is an infection. So the presence of the tick or the presence of this isolated sort of bullet-shaped rash can be indicator that there is something going on.
So like it's kind of like a bullseye, you see a red area and then a whitish ring around that and then another red ring around that. Is that what you meant by bullseye?
Yes, that's exactly right. A bullseye with a central area but circles coming out around it.
Okay. But then, you know, it is a little controversial because I've heard of people that never really saw the rash or had the rash. And it's true, if it's on your back or you live alone or you might not know it. But people, usually if they get infected, it's like an infection. So don't they get sick initially? Can they have fevers? What other signs should they watch out for?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, there is a sequence of the disease. Recognizing the tick bite early is helpful. Recognizing the characteristic rash can be helpful, although, again, if it's on the back or it's in the hairy area where you don't see it, you may not be aware of it. But the potential exposure then oftentimes does lead to a very characteristic infection, which can include fever, headaches, muscle aches. And if that's related to, for example, a camping trip or a prolonged hiking trip, that may be an important clue to provide one's doctor when they get evaluated.
Okay. So, because hopefully, I mean, it's the people you read about in the news that they never really paid attention. They got a little sick and then, you know, down the road, you know, months later, a year later, they have all these weird neurologic symptoms, right? It can go to your brain or weird heart, even heart issues or joint issues.
Yes, so, you're exactly correct. Yeah.
And then when that happens, though, are there blood tests and things that people can have to look for it?
Well, there are ways to diagnose it, and some of those are blood tests, and it is still treatable at the delayed at some of those stages, although it's much more difficult to delay, and like many things, once the damage has started to occur, you can sometimes stop the progression, but you don't necessarily reverse the damage that has occurred.
Like the arthritis and things like that, correct?
That's right, yes.
The difference, but it is a bacterial infection, so the treatment pretty much is antibiotics. It's maybe the length of time or whether it's pills or IV depends on what stage you're in, right?
Yes, it is very treatable. It's treatable with a variety of common antibiotics. It's pretty well known, if recognized very early, sometimes a single dose will treat it of a single antibiotic. And with the later, or the stage where you get the aches and the fever, that can be treated with a little bit longer, usually about a week's worth of antibiotics. But then when it gets into the later stages, sometimes it will take several weeks of antibiotic treatment to stop it.
That's a good point. So I guess the best key, you know, the an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you're outside, wear long pants, long sleeves, insect repellents like DEET kind of work, and check your pets for ticks, and take a shower when you get inside, because sometimes the ticks will be on your skin but they won't attach. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well.